Proverbs chapter 26 deals a lot with the fool in the beginning. Actually, the first several verses, 1 to 11, talks a lot about the fool. The Bible talks a lot about the fool, but especially the book of Proverbs deals a lot about the fool. Now, this is not specifically referring to a person who is perhaps intellectually lacking or someone that is slow mentally. Okay, someone could be a genius and still be a fool. Someone can have a brilliant mind and still be a fool. Specifically, when the Bible talks about a fool, especially in our passage, it talks about someone that is, you know, gone out of the way in a very foolish manner and behaves in a very foolish manner, acts like a fool. So it's not necessarily talking about a Christian that is struggling and wants to move forward with God and so forth. However, we can still learn from these proverbs, because though we are children of wisdom and we want to grow in wisdom, we can have foolish tendencies, which we don't want to have. We don't want to exhibit. So, you know, this helps us quickly spot and recognize and pinpoint and identify and say, whoa, pull back. That's part of being the children of God. We are endued with wisdom from God, so we become wise and not fools. But when we look at the fool here, this is someone that's just absolutely foolish. Okay, and this is what we're going to look at. We want to look at someone that is foolish so we don't become like that person. Someone once said the learned or the teachable fool writes his nonsense in better language than the unlearned, but still it's nonsense. So someone can still be brilliant and smart and still be foolish. Okay, someone can be wise but yet act foolishly. Okay, and so let's have a quick look. We won't look at Proverbs 26 in the way of introduction. I want to turn to other scriptures by the way of introduction, just to see the disposition of a fool. And so the verses will be up there. First of all, number one, a fool denies the existence of God. In Psalm 53, verse 1, the Bible says, the fool hath said in his heart, what? There is no God. A person that believes that there is no God is a fool. But guess what? A person that believes that there is a God and lives like there isn't a God is also a fool. Number two, fools deny the works of God. In Psalm 92, verse 5, O Lord, how great are thy works! And thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. So a fool denies the works of God. He doesn't recognize how great God is. And let me say to you tonight, God is a good God and he's a great God. And a fool doesn't recognize that. A fool doesn't recognize that. Number three, fools reject instruction and they are loud mouths. Have a look at Proverbs 10, verse 8. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall what? Fall. A loud mouth, one that mouths off. Number four, fools reject godly counsel. Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is what? Wise. Number five, fools despise wisdom. Proverbs 23, verse 9, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Number six, fools are two-faced and big mouths. Proverbs 10, verse 18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a what? Fool. Is a fool, two-faced, big mouths. Number seven, fools are careless. Proverbs 14, verse 16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. They're careless, they're self-confident, they're proud. Number eight, fools have no desire to learn. Proverbs 18, verse 2, a fool have no delight in what? Understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. You can, you know, labor on these passages, but Proverbs 26 is where I want to labor a little. But number nine, fools disrespect authority. Proverbs 15, verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's what? Instruction. But he that regardeth reproof is what? Prudent. Number 10, fools can be dangerous. Proverbs 17, verse 12. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. Now think about that for a moment. You know, if you ponder upon all these different principles of what a... Think about that. You don't want to be in front of a fool when he's in his folly. That's what the Bible's saying. You're better off being in front of a bear that doesn't have her cubs or her, well, you know, her little ones, than to be in front of a fool in his folly. Get out of the way, in other words. Amen. 11. Fools don't think before they speak. Proverbs 29, verse 11. God help us with this one. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. Number 12. Fools trust in their own heart. Proverbs 28, verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. And we know to walk wisely is to walk in obedience to the word of God. Amen. 13. Fools are troublemakers. Proverbs 18, verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. He's a troublemaker. He just keeps at it and at it and at it, causing trouble, won't let it up, won't let it rest. 14. Fools are trouble encouragers. Not just makers, but they're trouble encouragers. They put fire, they put fuel on the fire. Proverbs 20, verse 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool be what? Meddling. Just won't let it go. I just want to keep adding fuel to the fire. And may God help us. Now, look at Proverbs chapter 26. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 26. And we're going to look at not only the disposition of a fool, but also the dealings with a fool. And have a look at verse 1. The Bible says very clearly that fools are not honored. They're not honored. A fool is not honored. Okay? As it snow in summer? And as rain in harvest, it depends where you go, but it doesn't particularly rain very often and hard and consistently. But so is honor is not seemly for a fool. So it doesn't snow in summer, doesn't rain in harvest. So it's pretty much out of place. It's out of order. Okay. So it's out of order and out of place to give honor to a fool. Okay. You don't give an honor. As a matter of fact, we shouldn't honor fools. And the Bible has much to say about that as we get to the principle toward the end. And no honor is given to a fool or is to be given to a fool. Number 2, fools' curses avail to nothing. Okay? Curses can be slander, can be false warnings. They perhaps want to try to call judgment upon you or whatever it is, curses. So the Bible says here, Proverbs 26 verse 2, as a bird by wandering, as a swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. So a fool who utters slander or curses or given false warnings of judgment is like a bird who wanders, who flies in the air. And that's all it is. That's all it does. It's just, unlike the, flubber, the flubber. when you go next to their youngins, it comes and tries to, there's an aim, there's a purpose. You know, those birds, you ever been swooped by one? They're very vicious for a little bird. But by a wandering bird, just wanders aimlessly, that's like the curse of a fool. It's not going to hit anything. It just flies over your head. And by the way, just let it fly, because that's all a fool can do. Just utter curses without any weight to that, because they're a fool. It means little coming out of the mouth of a fool. Means little. Okay? So don't even take it with a pinch of salt. You take things with a pinch of salt. Don't even take it with a pinch of salt. But it comes out of the mouth of a fool, just let it flow over your head. Amen? It's like Balaam tried to curse Israel. In Deuteronomy 23 verse 5, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, the Lord thy God will not hearken unto Balaam. But the Lord thy God turned the curse into a what? Blessing unto thee. Because the Lord thy God loved thee. And all things work together for good to them that love him." And so let them come. Let them come. God can turn curses into blessings. And thank God for that. Number 3, a fool learns the hard way. Proverbs 26 verse 3. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Okay, so a whip helps the horse go, move, or go faster. The bridle for the donkey helps the donkey stop or turn to the right or left. And so a rod for the fool's back is the only way he's going to learn. And how do you do that? Discipline, perhaps? Rebuke? Correction? The rod of what? Correction. And so to deal with a fool, you have to be firm. And there's nothing wrong to be firm with a fool. Okay? And a man of God said this, the horse and the ass can be trained to respond by using these. The only thing a fool will respond to is real discipline. They're not going to really respond to trying to reason with and, you know, negotiate. No. Thank God for his word, by the way. Number four, how to respond to a fool. Now, this seems like a contradiction, but it's not. It's God's wisdom. We just have to think about it just a little bit and meditate on it so we understand what he's saying, especially the latter part of each verse. Have a look. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Number five, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own what? Conceit. So this seems to be in a contradiction, but it's not. These verses are teaching us to know how to respond with wisdom. Okay, how to respond with wisdom. There are times where we must respond and there are times we must refrain. Okay, verse 5 is to protect yourself and your testimony. Because sometimes what a fool does is he can get you down to his level and you just become like him. Because you're just speaking at his level. And God is trying to help us. Don't become like him. Learn to withdraw. We don't have to win a debate or an argument. God help us. Amen. Verse 5 is to protect him, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Lest he walk away justified, thinking he's okay when he's not. So we have to have wisdom from God to know, okay, when do I speak and when do I not speak? Lord, help me understand this. What helps me is this. Avoid foolish questions that gender strife. Okay? Answer genuine questions. Avoid provoking statements. There are people that will try to provoke you to no end. They know what they're doing because they want one on you. They're not thinking about truth and restoration. They want to get one on you so they can hang up the phone and then they can be justified and with what they're doing. Okay, but can I just say something? If that ever happens to you, a simple text with wisdom can help that person to no end. Because you can't let that person go thinking that they're okay when they're not. This is a big hurt to them. God doesn't want you to hurt yourself. God doesn't want you to hurt them. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Don't play games. Don't play tit for tat. Now, this is one thing that you don't do with a fool because you're going to stoop down to their level. Don't be foolish. Don't resort to fleshly means. Okay, in responding to a fool, we must have wisdom by God's grace. We're learning from the Master himself. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ at times answered a question with a question. He answered a question with a question. And we don't have time to go there, but he does it so well to expose their hearts, right, and to help those that are vulnerable that are listening in. Because they were always trying to incriminate our Lord Jesus Christ. At times he let him alone, at times he spoke up. And so we can learn from him. But God gives us wisdom through his Spirit and his Word to know when to speak and to know when to shut up. Please remember this. At times, silent treatment can be the best thing. Okay? Silent response, I should say. Not treatment, response. Sometimes you don't have to answer everything a fool is basically saying. So it can be, you know, the best thing that can happen, but listen very carefully, it can be the very, you know, it can be a bad thing if you don't respond. That's what the proverb is trying to, you know, help us with. So we must speak up when the Lord wants us to speak up in a nutshell. Number five, a fool cannot be trusted with responsibility. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 6. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. Okay? Now, in other words, a fool cannot be trusted with passing important information. Okay? You give a letter, perhaps, to a fool. here's a letter, I want you to deliver this, or a message, you know, by the time it gets there, if it gets there, and by the time it gets there, you know, it's not going to be, it perhaps is not going to be the same message that you conveyed to that person. It'll probably be distorted along the way and, you know, manipulated or whatever, you know, trying to distort the truth of that message. So in other words, you can't trust the fool with important information, all right? You might get the message by the hand, but perhaps it won't get there because of the feet are just cut off. I believe this is what he's implying. Drinking damage means perhaps it will cost you something. If you don't get that information to where it needs to go, it could cost you something. It's like some of the emails that go into junk mail. You didn't get the email, it's in junk mail. And about a week later, so I send you an email, you never got the email. And then you look in your junk, they say, check your junk mail. Here it is. And it could cost you. Perhaps, you know, you wanted to pay something that was overdue, get something to where it needed to go. It's like junk mail. It's like a fool. You can't get the message where it needs to go. So you can't trust it. Will cost you. In a nutshell, be very careful who you choose to impart important information. A fool can cause you a lot of trouble. Instead of being a help, they can be a headache. And so the opposite true, by the way, is to someone that is faithful. Amen? And there could be faithful messengers. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. For he refresheth the soul of his masters. And so what a wonderful thing to have faithful people, faithful messengers, to get the message across exactly the way you wanted to convey it, to help in the process. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 26, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. So vinegar to the teeth. Have you ever tried that? Can be a bit of edgy. Smoke to the eyes can be irritating. And so that's someone that's unfaithful. They're, you know, get you on edge and irritate you to no end. Okay. And so, but a faithful messenger is refreshing. May God help us be faithful messengers and a faithful messenger to the Lord. Amen. Proverbs 25 verse 19, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like what? A broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Have you ever had a broken tooth before? It hurts, doesn't it? It causes pain. Have you ever had a dislocated ankle or knee or a foot? You can't walk on it properly. It's not dependable. And so that's what it is with a fool. Number six, a fool uttering a parable is a contradiction. In Proverbs 26 verse 7, the legs of the lame are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. This is an interesting one. Matthew Henry said this, a parable in the mouth of fools ceases to be a parable and becomes a jest. In other words, a joke. Okay? If a man who lives a wicked life and yet speaks religiously and takes God's covenant into his mouth, his good words raise him up, but then his bad life takes him down, and so his legs are not equal. I believe also this parable is expressing that you don't see a lame person walk, do you? And so for a fool to try to speak truth in the parable, explain the parable, doesn't match. Legs of a lame man do not work. They do not function. So a parable out of the mouth of a fool doesn't work. Nor can his words be trusted. You cannot rely on them. There's a contradiction in the way they live and the way they speak. Okay? So a fool uttering a parable is a contradiction. Number seven, giving honor to a fool is pointless, useless. Proverbs 26 verse 8. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. So I believe this parable conveys that it's pointless to bind a stone in a slingshot, that it doesn't even, you know, shoot out. You bind it so tight that what will happen if it you know, won't shoot out? It's going to perhaps just flick back on you, right? Or it's just useless or pointless. It could be conveying that. So it's pointless to honor a fool If you honor a fool, it could bring about damage. Okay. Perhaps giving honor to a fool can cause, trouble for him or for even yourself. Number eight, a fool uttering a parable is dangerous. It goes back from verse 7, similar thought here. As a thorn, verse 9, goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. Now think about that for a moment. What kind of damage can a drunk person do with a knife or, if he's absolutely drunk and he's got a thorn or a knife in his hand and he's waving it around, he's drunk, he can do a lot of damage for himself. It can be dangerous to others. And so a parable in the mouth of fools, truth in the mouth of fools, can actually do damage to others. It can be dangerous. Imagine a fool handling truth or a parable. Misapplying scripture is dangerous, right? Or misapplying truth in general is dangerous, right? You can cause a lot of damage. You can lead people astray. William MacDonald said, a parable in the mouth of a fool can be misapplied and distorted. He might use it to justify his folly and to draw false conclusions concerning others. And so, in other words, it can just cause a lot of damage. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. Can I just say this to you? And we've probably heard it many times, or even heard testimonies many times. If you're not walking with the Lord, maybe you should better be quiet and not try to be a witness for the Lord. Because I hear a lot of testimonies of people that they're in sin, but they're still talking about the Lord. Now, we know the Word of God can still impact someone's life. But when you look at someone that's not walking with the Lord and trying to, speak with wisdom or truth and so forth, that's confusing. And that could be dangerous, okay? And especially the way someone interprets Scripture, and the way people can misuse Scripture and misapply Scripture, can also be dangerous. Again, last week I said it's a heinous crime to speak on behalf of God, right? When God said, when God didn't say. To be an ambassador for Christ, to be an ambassador for the Lord, but your life does not match. Number nine, God will deal with fools. Very simple, sharp and sobering. Have a look at verse 10. The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth the transgressor. And the Bible says, Paul says this in Romans 10, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Did you know God is going to deal with fools? Did you know that? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be dealt by God. Amen? Amen? But God's going to deal with them one way or another. So if a fool is bringing you trouble, and you can see, and it's apparent, the Bible says, don't take vengeance, don't repay, don't, start acting the way they're acting. As a matter of fact, God wants you to act in such a way that becomes Christ-like. God's going to deal with them, and God will deal with them. God's going to deal with sin, folks. And so in time, he will deal with it. Number 10, a fool never learns. Look at verse 11. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. No matter how revolting vomit tastes, no matter how disgusting it is, a dog will always go back to it. It doesn't learn. The fool never learns, no matter how disgusting his foolishness may be. Doesn't learn. He doesn't understand. He doesn't learn. He goes back to his folly time and time and time and time again. And so the Apostle Peter uses this parable to mark out false teachers, to mark out unrepented people in the days of Noah and the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, to mark out even the fallen angels, to mark out people like Balaam and so forth. He uses this parable. So you want to turn there just quickly, 2 Peter chapter 2, and let's have a look what the Bible mentions over here. 2 Peter chapter 2. Tempted to read the whole passage, but let's get it from verse 14. Talking about these false teachers, talking about these unrepentant sinners, talking about those people like it was in the days of Noah and the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, these fallen angels, talking about these people having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, subtle, leading them astray.
Yes.
You see that? Yeah. A heart that have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way. I want you to get this in a moment because verse 12 in Proverbs 26 is key. But I don't want you to miss this. Who have forsaken the what? The right way. Don't miss this. This is very important. Who have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantedness. Those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. That's key. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his vomit, his own vomit again. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now that's a lot of heavy duty stuff in that passage. But these are people, listen, that knew better. They knew better. And so have a look at verse 12 in Proverbs chapter 26. This is the title of the message, Worse Than a Fool. Worse than everything that we had just mentioned. Worse than a fool. Have a look at verse 12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. You know, God's wisdom is talking about the severity of going back our own ways again. Going back and living through our own lenses and doing what we want to do in the contrary of God's will. In contrary, listen, of God's word. Over here it talks about that we can go back to the place, right, after knowing the truth, in living our own way again. You know, that's worse than a fool. We don't see our life, we don't see this life, we don't see anything that we do through the lenses of the word. We just go about doing our own thing the way we feel like doing. This is someone who is highly opinionated over the word of God, doesn't fear God, doesn't trust in him anymore, but wants to do his own thing. You say, can you have that in the last times? Absolutely. In the last times, many will say, come and tickle my ears. tickle, tickle, tickle. You just tell me what I want to hear so I can go do what I want to do. I don't want this preaching that's contrary to my life. Man, I don't want someone telling me what to do or how to live or how God wants me to live. Just leave me alone. One person said that they, listen to this. One person said to me that the reason why I got off the WhatsApp group for our church is because I don't want to hear it. I thought to myself, I never confirmed with that person. I didn't confirm with that person what he means by this. But what don't you want to hear? You tell me. You tell me the verses that are on there. The brothers and sisters, you know, the Bible says that in a lot of times people will despise those that are good. They can't stand someone living a holy, godly life, seeing them walk with God. They abhor it. You know what they want to pick on? They want to pick on your contradiction and hypocrisy, but they don't see their own. They want a way out. They want to excuse themselves. They want to see things the way they want to see things. They want to view things the way they want to view things. Hypocrisy is no doubt in the flesh. That's why Peter says, lay aside every, you know, all evil speaking, malice and guile and hypocrisies. Right? But there is a hypocrisies that we don't want in our life, and there's the hypocrite. That don't be like that. Hypocrite, the Bible says, right? The hypocrite that is wise in his own eyes, that subtly undermine the word of God while they teach it. You can listen. If you hear very clearly false teachers teach the scripture, you will notice that in the message they undermine the word of God. If you hear it, and you see and you hear and you can pick it up, that's what false teachers do. I had one guy telling me yesterday, he's not a false teacher, but he's a backsliding brother, telling me, why would God be so cruel to those people in Matthew chapter 7 that they've prophesied in his name, they've cast out devils, they've done many wonderful works. Why would God be so cruel, right, to say, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. But all along, he's telling me how he's for the truth and he loves God's word and he's just back. Now, that's a contradiction, folks. That's a contradiction. That's someone that's trying to simply, you know, use the word of God for their benefit. But when it comes to the tough stuff, and by the way, the Bible's full of tough stuff. We live in a day where people don't want the tough stuff. They just want the, you know, the things that pertain to them. So in other words, you can preach on, you know, God loves you, and we ought to, because God's love is amazing, and it's the very thing that helps us live for him. But that's the part where people don't want to hear, living for Jesus, you know, give your life, give it up. No, I don't want to hear that. Just let me hear how much God loves me, and how I can have my best life now, and how he can cause me to live this life without sacrificing, and how he can cause me to live this life without denying myself, and how he can cause me to live this life without persecution, and how he can, you know, just, I don't want to hear persecution. I don't want to hear tribulation. I don't want to hear any of these things. Just tell me the good things of the Bible. And you know what the good things of the Bible is? That all they want is to be justified in their sin. That's what it is. That's the part of the Bible that they want. They're wise in their own eyes. They see what they want to see. They treat the Bible like a smorgasbord and like a pizza menu. I'll have this, that, but no anchovies, please. You know, no. Brethren, we may come to the tough and hard stuff, and we may say this, like the Apostle John, that the Word of God are not grievous to us. In other words, it doesn't offend us. Is it difficult at times? Absolutely. Denying yourself is something that God wants us to do, and it doesn't come naturally. Anyone doesn't say that the Christian life is even simple. Mate, that, you know, I don't know whether it is. The Bible calls it endure hardness. Yeah, fight the good fight. It's a fight. It's hardness and so forth. So we're going to be kidding ourselves if we think that the Christian life is just easy. No, it's not easy. Yeah, it's a fight. And we've got to endure by the grace of God, and we've got to persevere, and we've got to continue by the grace of God, and we've got to continue to have the right motives in serving God and so forth. But what he's dealing with here is someone that's worse than a fool. There's more hope than a fool than someone that knows the truth and departs from it. And they go on and sin willfully after knowing the truth. Now, you're better off not knowing. You're better off not being hurt and being a fool. Not really, but the Bible's saying there's more hope for that person than someone that knows and perhaps embraces it for a time and says, I don't want it. I'm done. I'm finished. But they still want to embrace the Bible. But I don't want this Christianity. And I sometimes think to myself, what Christianity are you talking about? The surrendered life? The crucified life? What Christianity am I missing here? What's this Christian Christ crucifixion? I'm crucified with Christ. Is that the Christianity? You don't want that Christianity? Hey, listen, my flesh doesn't want it either. Charlie wants comfort. You think Charlie wants to be persecuted? The flesh doesn't want it, but the Spirit of God sure does. It's willing. The Spirit of God is yearning for us to be conformed into His image, that we will be like Christ in every area, that we may please the Father in all that we do, that we may trust Him and lean not unto our own understanding, that we would not be wise in our own eyes, will fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's what Proverbs chapter 3 talks about. So someone that is wise in their own conceit chooses not to trust the Lord anymore, chooses to lean onto their own understanding and try to work this book out. They look for contradictions to justify themselves. I'm telling you, I talk to people, say, I know Jesus, I know the Bible. And then when I get to the hard and tough stuff, it was written by men. I thought you just believe the Bible to be true and whole, but when I get, but it was written by men anyway. So they try to undermine the scripture. Some people can be recovered, but there are people like this that once they know the truth and they turn their back on it, man, there's more hope for the fool than for that person. I'll hate to be that person. I'll hate to be, a part of me says there is hope because there's more hope for a fool, but is there any hope? We don't know. We're going to have to leave that. Each circumstances, we don't know what's taking place in people's lives. We hope in our hearts that the people that we have met with and dealt with and so forth, there's always hope. But let me just say this to you. We don't want to be this person. We don't want to be worse than a fool. Man, I've been in the ministry, of preaching and so forth. I've people come and go. And you can come and go from a church all you want. But when you leave Christianity altogether, and when you leave this word of God, that's dangerous. And you leave blaming the church of God, that's just even more despicable. Why don't you be someone that will say, hey, I just love my sin too much. Just say it. Because there's more hope for a fool than that person. You get what I'm saying? In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, God gives several woes to the children of Israel. He rebukes them. He says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You know you're in a very bad place when you start doing that. Very bad place. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. There's just someone that tries to influence their... It's like a drug dealer. Causes another person to stumble. Which justify the wicked for what? Reward. Oh my. And take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Woe unto that person that justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. That's heavy. I believe all these woes come, they're kind of entwined together. But woe unto him that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. You know, God didn't only warn the congregation of Israel, but you know, God rebuked the church in Laodicea. Have a look at Revelation chapter 3. Look at verse 17. He says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that they mayest, what? See. See. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore, and what's that word? Repent. You know, can I just say, a fool may hear the word, but may not be a doer of the word. Right? But someone that is wise in their own conceits will come to the point, listen, they don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to hear it anymore. I'm done. I don't want to hear it. What don't you want to hear? What don't you want to hear? The preaching of the word of God? Preach the word. It's the preaching of the word of God that saved my dear soul. And it's the preaching of the word of God that sanctifies me. I need preaching. Thank God for teaching, but I need preaching. What don't you want to hear? You don't think the flesh screams when the preaching comes? Of course it does. But we come under it and we say, Lord, I need this. I need your word. I need your word. I need your rebuke. I need your reproof. I need your correction. I need your instruction. For the instruction, it's the way of life. We're always going to be told what to do, how to do it, when to do it. You walk down the street, they're going to tell you how to walk. You've got to wear a mask now. Yeah, we're people under, you know, did you hear about that man that didn't want to go to school anymore? He didn't want to go and be under his father's roof anymore because he didn't want, to be told what to do by his teachers. He didn't want to be told what to do by his parents, so he went and joined the Marines. Man, if anybody's under authority, it's those people. Get up at what? 4 o'clock in the morning and work. Our nature resists naturally the word of God. But God says, trust me. Lean not unto thy own understanding. Fear me. Depart from evil. Don't walk in your ways. There is a way that seemeth right unto man. But what happens in the end thereof are the ways of what? Death. Death. So a fool may hear the word, may not do it, but he's still hearing it. But someone that's wise in their own conceit don't want to hear it anymore. Don't want to hear instruction. They're done with it. They don't want to hear it anymore. The Bible says, better is a poor and wise child than an old man, foolish king, who will no more be admonished. Right. Number two, it is someone who does not fear the Lord and chooses their own way. That's what the Bible says very clearly. Be not wise in their own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. I believe one of a classic example was King Saul. Now, I don't have time to get into it, but you know what happened with King Saul when he went ahead of God, ahead of Samuel? Samuel said, wait. He went ahead of God. He went ahead of the prophet. He couldn't wait. Why couldn't he wait? Because he was wise in his own eyes. How can I wait? There are people, they're dropping off like flies. They're afraid. the Philistines are coming. Hey, hurry up, make the sacrifice. Now who gives you the right to sacrifice? You know what? One thing, and this is a testimony, God is my witness. One thing that I was afraid in my life as a Christian, listen to me, is being a self-appointed preacher. A self-appointed man. I always knew that a church begat a church. I always knew there was authority. Where did you come from then? Where did you come from? What church were you added to? And you look at the book of Acts very closely and you see men of God showing a pattern of how to submit under authority. And so being wise in your own conceit, I'm my own man, I do what I want, when I want it, I'm not under any authority. Yeah. It's a dangerous place to be in. A dangerous place. And all I can say, brethren, is let me just say this. Don't be worse than a fool. Amen. That's all I can say. Amen. Don't be worse than a fool. Fear God. Love His word. Love His way. Be tender to His ways. Be tender to His direction. Be tender to what He desires to do. Hey, honor this book. Don't live without the word of God. This book, I tell you this, it covers areas of faith and practice. It's our manual instruction. It is our book for service. It is our breath for life. It is many things that God, don't live without this book. Amen. Scrutinize it. Prove it. Prove all things. Don't live independently from this book because you don't want to act outside of the Word of God. It's a dangerous thing. Amen. It's a dangerous thing to go on and do what you want to do. And I'll even say this, even in ministry. King Saul, what'd you do? You acted foolishly, Samuel said. And he came up with some good excuses. Reasonable, but not acceptable. Don't be worse than a fool. Let's pray.